We're going to talk about something, John, that you frequently like to talk about, the NSA, or the National Security Agency, which prefers really to keep a low profile.
Halfway between Baltimore and Washington, D.C., is a hidden city, the headquarters of the National Security Agency, NSA. Here, tens of thousands of mathematicians, computer scientists, analysts, linguists, and voice interceptors work in absolute secrecy.
For those in the know, the joke was always that NSA stood for no such agency. For those on the inside, the joke was that NSA stood for never say anything.
The NSA has gotten a lot of publicity, or it did, during the Bush administration. In 2005, the nation learned that in response to the 9/11 attacks, President Bush had authorized it to wiretap phone and email communications of U.S. citizens. What you just heard came from a new Nova documentary called The Spy Factory, and it details how the NSA had the potential to prevent the 9/11 attacks and how it subsequently violated the privacy of millions of Americans. Joining us now to talk about the new documentary, which is a production of our partners, WGBH Boston, is journalist James Bamford. James wrote and co-produced the documentary, and it's based on his book, The Shadow Factory. Welcome back and good morning, James.
Well, good morning.
Now, you've actually written three books on the NSA, and some people describe you as the official biographer of the agency. That sound right to you?
Well, I'd say it's unofficial biographer. I've written three books on NSA, but it's an agency that's so secret that nobody inside ever writes any books, unlike the CIA, where you have almost every director and senior official coming out writing a book.
Let's hear a little bit more from your documentary.
NSA's job, to secretly listen in on telephone conversations, email communications, anything and everything that might warn of plots to do harm.
The scope of what happens at NSA is mind-boggling. I don't think the average person can even begin to conceive of the staggering depth and breadth of what they have to do.
But was NSA doing its job before the 9/11 attacks? It's a question that has never been thoroughly investigated.
And that's the question, James, that you look into. And what did you discover?
Well, you know, the NSA has this enormous ability to collect information. And before 9/11, it managed to collect telephone conversations of several of the hijackers who were actually here in the United States. And at one point, the hijackers decided to change their location and move their final operations base to Laurel, Maryland, which happens to be the same place that NSA is located. So for 6 weeks, you had the NSA intercept operators, the people looking for the terrorists, and the terrorists themselves living in the same town, exercising in the same gyms, shopping in the same grocery stores, and so forth. So I thought that was extraordinary coincidence that that would happen. And then you have an agency that you were paying $10 billion a year for that didn't see the terrorists who were right among them at the same time.
And what do you hope people learn from the documentary?
Well, what I really hope is that the public will get a little better understanding of this agency that very few people know anything about. And it has a lot of potential for helping the U.S. in terms of finding terrorists, but it also has a lot of potential for damaging the U.S. In terms of civil liberties and so forth. And that's what happened when the Bush administration went into this program of warrantless eavesdropping, which was against the law. The law called for getting a warrant before you eavesdrop on U.S. citizens, and the Bush administration bypassed that.
Well, James, one of the amazing legacies of the Bush administration is a transformation of Americans' perception of the NSA from something that is super secret to almost an expectation that the NSA is actually spying on all of us as U.S. citizens. And, you know, the Barack Obama administration wants to roll back Gitmo and stop, you know, torture of interrogations. But is it possible to roll back NSA domestic spying once they start listening?
No, it's pretty difficult. I think the positive things that have happened is they have, after the warrantless eavesdropping was going on, the Congress enacted a new bill, changed the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act a bit so that there is more protection. But there's still...
And Obama voted for it, right?
He opposed it at first because he didn't want to give immunity to the telecommunications companies that that helped the NSA, and then eventually he did vote for it. Right now the NSA is under some control by the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, but there's still a lot of questions about how much control the court has over NSA and how much NSA is actually eavesdropping. You know, almost everything coming into the United States is filtered through NSA's computers and their software. And when you think how much information that is and how many conversations that the NSA could capture, it gets very mind-boggling, I think, at times.
The documentary is chilling. It airs tonight. You can check your local PBS stations for listings. And James Bamford, we thank you for joining us this morning.
My pleasure.
James Bamford wrote and co-produced the documentary called The Spy Factory that airs tonight, and it's based on his book, The Shadow Factory, talking about the National Security Agency.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.